Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
A 1-2 offering from Schmidt. Freddie swings and belts the ball right field, hooking toward the corner. Hello, short porch, and hello, Freddie Freeman. For a third straight game in this World Series, five straight World Series games overall, Freddie Freeman goes deep.
Thank you to Dodgers Radio, a new level for Freddie Freeman. He's become the story of this World Series. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, along with Shohei Ohtani's injury and along with Aaron Judge's futility. And I think that's basically been the three storylines so far. Dodgers are up 3-0, and it's either going to be a sweep or it's going to be something close.
Yeah, I'd be curious to talk to baseball insiders. Just how do you get somebody out of a slump? The only slump busters I know are from the movie Bull Durham and and
Jason Giambi.
Do you have to do something?
Golden Thong? I don't know if that's going to work.
I honestly think the 2004 Red Sox taking a shot before they went out on the field, like, how can you get this guy to relax and just be himself? Because he's pressing so much. If I'm the manager and if I'm his teammates, I'm trying every possible thing because whatever they're doing now is not working.
Well, I mean, I don't know at this point, the more people tell you, you know, you already have all this swirling around in your head, right? You're the league MVP in the American League, presumptively, for Aaron Judge. And all of a sudden now, you look like a shell of yourself. So I don't know if he needs more Perloff or just less, fewer voices in his ear, I don't know. You'd have to know the player to know what actually works here. But they've got no time. They've run out of time.
You can't
the slump, just it killed any shot at the Yankees winning.
Well, you can't just leave him alone. Like, you have to intervene here. I know what you're saying, like, more voices might not help, but it's worth a risk.
Well,
I feel like if you leave him alone, he's just going to go 0-4 tonight and the season's going to be over.
But so who is this? Who's intervening? Like Aaron Boone?
I don't know. I'm not in the locker room. Maybe a teammate, maybe a friend, like somebody. If you had a friend who is going 1-for-whatever in the World Series, would you call them and say, like, hey, buddy?
No, not even close.
Why? You
First of all, by the way, Anthony Rizzo did call a meeting before yesterday's game. Yeah. It didn't work. So, and Anthony Rizzo, I think, is Judge's closest friend on the team.
Okay, so Rizzo's the guy. Yeah, you got to try something, though. You can't just...
Would you call somebody who's 0-for-15?
Or 1-for-15,
whatever he is?
I mean, no, I probably wouldn't, but I do think, like, you have to intervene because you can't just let it go. Somebody has to say something to Judge. There's got to be some trick here. It's got to be something to do. You can't just let the season end and be like, man, yeah, once again, Aaron Judge isn't good in the postseason. There's got to be a coach who can give him some point or try something different. He's got to try something, Maggie, right? I mean, he's not himself at all.
He's about to be the 2-time MVP. What are they going to tell him? He's been playing baseball his whole life. This is a major league. Are they going to sacrifice a chicken? You're going to, like, Joe Boo? There's nothing. There's
definitely
no magic pill
here. I mean, women's underwear is a given. You're definitely wearing women's underwear out there.
That's the Giambi. Yes.
Yeah, and that was also Bull Durham.
And Bull Durham. But yeah. I've heard of other slump busters, but that's not appropriate for morning radio.
Is Aaron Judge married? Do we know?
Yes.
Okay, so that kind of slump busters out.
That's the one I was referring
to. What about alcohol?
I don't know if he drinks. You mean start or stop?
even better. Just dude needs a
shot of Hennessy like Marshawn Lynch?
Give him a Xanax. Give him something. He's got to relax.
Against the rules. I don't know.
None of this stuff is
actually going to work, dude. He's just,
You know what a beta blocker is? You guys ever heard of beta blockers?
Is that like a Xanax?
It's a very intense thing. It basically cuts off the blood coming to your heart or something, and you are completely relaxed. It's for high-level performers. If, say, you have a big speech in front of the UN, you'll take a beta blocker, and all the fear you have in your body will go away. It's pretty popular right now.
That sounds safe.
That can't be healthy.
No,
it reduces the activity to the heart.
Yeah, it's actually used for cardiac patients, but it's now become... It's a super emergency Xanax on steroids. Like, it'll just get all your fear out of your body.
Oh,
I've never
this
had
is
one.
What it does. Okay, so it's a type of drug that blocks the action of substances such as adrenaline and relaxes the blood vessels, dilates them, so widens them, allows blood to flow more easily, and lowers blood pressure and the heart rate. to calm you down.
Yeah, so you have no fear when you're on a beta blocker. He needs a beta blocker. I'm sure other athletes have taken him in this situation.
Are they banned substances? Is that a performance enhancer?
I think you might need a prescription. I don't know. They're in the news a lot these days. The Times had a big article on them the other day because people are starting to use them a lot. They're very, very effective. But they might be dangerous. There's no long-term studies.
Well,
might be.
I don't. Is that a risky? I guess they might not try anything. I don't know.
They're actually.
One yesterday and we still got 0-for-4.
I don't know.
Thought about that.
I don't think he took a beta blocker. I think he still looks really nervous. He just like you can see it.
Well, he's swinging.
He looks very serious. Not
the
always look serious.
They always look serious.
I don't know. He just looks tight.
I'll give you that. He looks lost. Not tight. He looks lost is what it is. And, you know, he's the guy who's going to wear this. But it's been, you know, it hasn't been pretty. Basically, outside of Stanton and Soto at times, no one else has really been coming through too big for the Yankees either. So, yeah, Judge is going to get all the money. But I think there's other people who are also going to be and should be held accountable for this. And then I think just credit to the Dodgers. This is, you're right, Perloff, this is not the best Dodger team. Now, we could talk about the lineup and having Ohtani and Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. I mean, it's pretty dang good. But there's been a lot of really good Dodger lineups, and this is clearly not the best Dodger pitching staff that we've seen.
Well, it's a pitching staff we did not expect it to hold up like this.
No, they have basically an all-star team based on the bench. So the fact that they're getting it done, and to be honest, the Dodgers really needed this. 2020 is not thought of as an actual title. I don't even think people in L.A. think of it as an actual title. It just wasn't. And it's not because you didn't get a parade and stuff like that. It's because it was 60 games. That's not a baseball season. And every diehard and casual baseball fan knows that. So this is big.
You know what I think is also affecting Judge? And it's a little outside the box. But I feel like he has not been the same player in the postseason since that trash can
situation. Astros? He got robbed of an MVP?
And this guy talks about it as much as anybody else besides Brian Cashman. Like, he will never escape an opportunity to talk about, well, them guys were cheaters.
Astros,
and I think in his head, he goes in these games and he knows there are no excuses now. It's like, the other team's not banging trash cans. There isn't a buzzer happening. None of this stuff is happening. And in his head, I think he feels like he's already a World Series champion. He was robbed. And I think there's a mental block when he plays in these big series. When he gets to the ALCS, when he gets to the World Series here, he's not the same guy. In that ALCS, he had 3 home runs. I mean, he had 250, but he had 7 RBIs. Like, he was good.
Yeah.
And, like, besides,
then it fell off.
Yeah, and then besides some of these other teams, when they're playing against kind of scrub teams, when he plays against good teams or the Astros again, he's terrible. And
but that was 7 years ago.
I know. He's been terrible. He's a 196 postseason hitter, Pearl. Like, he's been bad for 7 years. And the fact that he keeps bringing that up, it just makes me wonder if that is somehow still a mental block in his head.
EJ, you said there was an interesting convo going on in the chat. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and on X at Maggie Gray. What's going on with the Dodgers?
So I asked a question in the chat, and I think some people are curious as well a little bit. We talked about Kirk Gibson in the home run, because Perloff's essentially saying that you can't call the Freeman home run the Gibson home run because Freeman's not as hurt as Kirk Gibson. I wonder if younger fans and or casual fans, do they really know how injured Kirk Gibson was? Like, to me, I think the image is just Kirk Gibson hitting the home run and then pumping his fist as he runs around the bases. I think to me the Jordan flu game and like the Willis Reed walking out of the tunnel and then lifting up the court is like more visual in terms of injuries. So I think that's why Freeman hitting the home run just in game one being left-handed is just enough to make this Kirk Gibson thing game. Do you even remember that or know that?
I think so. I mean, I would like to think so because in the highlight, even if you didn't know how hurt he was, he's literally limping around the bases. It's part of the highlight. It's just like Willis Reed. Willis Reed's limping out of the tunnel. Here comes Willis, you know, the Marv Albert call. And the same thing, the Jordan flu game, it's just him collapsing into Pippen's arms kind of in the end of the game is sort of the lasting image. So it's right there. I think you see it, right?
I feel like Gibson and Willis Reed are tied because they're both kind of a long time ago now. I see what you're saying. Him walking up to the bat was painful.
That's the moment to me where he looks injured.
And when he was walking up to the plate.
Yeah, like he's limping around the bases, but it's always a trot. Like, when we ask why is Freddie Freeman being compared when he doesn't seem like he's as hurt, I wonder if that's part of the reason. It's because, like, the part of Gibson being hurt
yeah,
is not quite as relevant to a lot of folks who are just say, oh, I know Gibson hit a home run in game one, just like Freeman. It's the same.
Well, and Willis Reed's, I mean, it might be a little bigger because it was game seven.
But yes. I don't remember actually Willis. I just remember the jump shot. I don't really remember him limping. I know he was limping very badly.
It was actually the Walt Frazier game, but they call it the Willis Reed
game. Yeah, but the highlight was the jump shot, and you don't see him limp on that two jump shots that he hit.
So we had a caller, just to bring it back to the present day, who's talking about Ohtani now. And Ohtani obviously has a semi-dislocated shoulder. He's wearing something on it at all times. He doesn't look comfortable at the plate at all. So I think it was William, right, in California called and said, well, Ohtani could have his Gibson moment. If now, he gets a hold of one, it's like, wait a minute, you already had a Gibson moment. I know you might not think, Perloff, that they're linked, but they are. We even got the live call from Joe Davis that says, Gibby, meet Freddie, game one of the World Series. That part of this is over. If Ohtani hits a home run somehow on this bad shoulder, it's just Ohtani's moment. It doesn't get compared to Gibson. That moment's gone.
No, see, I disagree because Freeman has killed his Gibby moment by being too good the rest of the series. So now it's because he's going to win the MVP of the series, most likely. So that becomes a narrative. Whereas, to me, and I think we disagree on the extent of Ohtani, like, I'm like, this guy's not even hitting the ball out of the infield, let alone a home run. Mm-hmm. His swings were, that's some of the worst MLB swings I've ever seen in my life. That was just terrible to watch last night. And he was in so much pain after every cut. I don't understand why he's out there. I really feel like we're not talking about this enough. I'm watching the Gibson at bat, by the way. And he is swinging and just grimacing. He should not. I can't believe that was a terrible idea to put him out there against Dennis. Dennis Eckersley is the best reliever in the last 50 years. How do you expect Gibby to get up there and hit a home run? No, I think if Ohtani hits a home run, then I will eat my words. That guy is not even, he can't even pop up.
But he affected the game because he drew a walk in the first at bat, and then Freddie Freeman hit a home run. So now you're up 2-0. So he actually, just by being him, he is impacting the game.
He had one walk and went 0-for-3 with a strikeout. I mean, if the Yankees were alive in this series, that would not be enough to make any difference.
Listen, the Yankees obviously were fearing him. They made a pitching change right before his third at bat.
I think this is also, I think William was right that this is more about his teammates than even him and what he can do. Mm. Like, I think it's like, man, everyone is out here. Not everybody's healthy. Not everyone's perfect. We're doing bullpen games. But everyone is
doing their part.
Given everything they got, even if it's not a lot. I think there's just a moral, emotional thing that's happened with Ohtani. That's why he's out there.
And, you know, can we flip that to the Yankee side of things? Mm-hmm. Not on an injury side, but in terms of, like, everyone going all out. Again, how do you not have Gerrit Cole starting tonight? You're on the brink of elimination. This is it. Highest paid pitcher in baseball. You're not going to start him because why? Because he can't pitch on short rest? Because you're worried about having him for game five? There is no game five if you don't win tonight. To me, I don't get it. Aren't we at maximum? This is it. This is max. This is the season. I don't know, bro. I'm sorry.
It feels like they think, honestly, like, the bullpen game gives them a better chance to win, almost. But that being said, you guys are very romantic about baseball. To me, it's much more analytics. Like, whatever's going on. There's no, you know, EJ, you pointed to the C on Aaron Judge's shirt and the emotional lift of Shohei Ohtani. This is baseball. It's a pitcher versus the hitter. It's very analytic driven to me. And I don't know. It just feels like the bottom line is the Yankees are not producing with runners in scoring position. I don't know why. It's not an emotional thing. They're just not hitting right now. I'm obsessed. Did you know this Gibson at bat lasted a long time, too? I thought he walked up and hit the first pitch. You're right, EJ. Like, we don't remember certain things like we think of them. Now, I'm curious, Freddie Freeman. I think Freddie Freeman will not be remembered as sort of this injured home run. I think it'll be remembered as, man, Freddie Freeman dominated the Yankees.
What do you think is the best injured moment? Because let's remember, we also have a new contender for this, which I would argue is Patrick Mahomes winning the Super Bowl on a high ankle sprain.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. It happened against what team?
Yeah,
what team,
I mean,
again was that?
Go Birds.
I like Byron Leftwich being carried by his teammates to the line. That's the most dramatic one. And Marshall, that was awesome. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, at least he could move a little bit. He got shot up with, God, some good drugs.
He was out there.
Yeah.
Does that now enter, I don't know, if we're going to do like a Mount Rushmore.
I think you're Mount Rushmore. Willis Reed, Kirk Gibson.
Jordan Flew game.
Jordan Flew game, though, because The flu.
Well, now we, yeah.
Yeah, the flu. Come on. We still calling it the flu game?
It was, yeah, was it a self-implode?
I guess you could put that on there. It's a little different.
The AC flu?
I think it's a competition. Who's the fourth spot on the Mount Rushmore of all-time injured games? Mahomes is a good one, but for some reason, I don't think of that game as that way. I think of it more as just he just completely tore him apart. I don't remember his injury as much.
I mean, I would also do Kobe Bryant hitting free throws on an Achilles, but it wasn't for a championship.
Yeah, that was not as relevant, but it's still amazing.
What about the Kirk Schilling bloody sock game?
Oh, well, that's even more controversial than the flu game.
Yeah, a lot of controversy around that bloody sock. It's in the Hall of Fame, isn't it? I think it's in Cooperstown. 855-212-4227. We do have great debate tomorrow. Greatest injured moment. Did we do this? Have we done them all?
I don't know why.
855-212-4227. Lots more to do today, including the answer to this question. Are the Yankees blowing the World Series or are the Dodgers winning the World Series? We also had a Steeler win from last night. We'll get to that next.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of Shields, Guards, and Real Fit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at depend.com. We're back, Maggie and Perloff show. So we started an assignment last segment, the Mount Rushmore of players doing dramatic things while injured, off of the Kirk Gibson home run. So we have the Gibby home run. We have Willis Reed coming out against the Lakers to lead the Knicks to the title. And what year was that, 73?
70.
Yeah, the Michael Jordan flu game. So I pulled up a list.
Wait, we should mention why we're talking about the Kirk Gibson home run. Well, people, I think, Freddie Freeman hit the Grand Slam in game one, but then we had a caller who said Shohei Ohtani being hurt right now with his shoulder. If he hit a home run, that would be the Kirk Gibson moment. But you can't have two Kirk Gibson moments in the same series. It doesn't work like that.
So the highest, I looked up a list on CBS of the most impressive injury games. Michael Jordan's flu game is number 6.
Did this list come out before The Last Dance, where we learned more about the flu game?
Learned
it was, he thinks it was a poison pizza.
Right, that's true.
Okay.
It doesn't make it any less phenomenal. It just is not the flu. It's God knows what. Blech.
Gibby is number 4 on this list. So that means there are 3 better ones. And the other side of the glass has not seen this list. Maggie and I read it to Maggie, and we were both like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. I forgot about that one. Any idea, most impressive injured performances in a big moment?
So Jack Youngblood, broken leg?
That's number 2. Actually, yeah, that's number 2.
Can we give him a hint?
We actually mentioned one of them.
One of them.
Oh, you did Leftwich?
No, Leftwich is 10 on this list.
Okay. One of them is a woman.
One of them was a bloody sock. I'll just tell you. That was number 1 on the list, which is insane.
That's number 1?
That's number 1.
It's an old list. Nah, Mahomes isn't even on it. Mahomes winning the Super Bowl against Perloff's Birds.
Was it Serena playing pregnant?
Old list. It was 2016. And by the way, the Mahomes is, these are like guys were kind of like
Mahomes
really broken.
Mahomes was a huge injury. It was a huge injury. It was the storyline going into the game.
If Kirk Schilling was really so injured that he was bleeding through his ankle into a sock and had a huge, that's a little different than Mahomes having a high ankle sprain.
But what else would it be?
What do you mean?
Like Kurt Schilling.
Oh, the blood? I think people thought it was
ketchup.
Fake.
Why would he put ketchup in his sock?
Because Kurt Schilling's a madman.
He's Kurt Schilling.
Maybe great a little question, too young, Nico. But Kurt Schilling is a wild man. And not fun. It's a woman, and she's an Olympian.
Oh, yeah, I don't have this one.
Carrie Strug.
Hey, what did she do? I don't even know.
Oh, guys.
Oh, God, this was that long ago? This is 1996. Carrie Strug was a gymnast who landed off the vault on a broken ankle. And
You've seen this.
I've seen that clip.
Bella Caroli kind of like takes her in his arms.
I never knew what her name was. Or
1996? God, that's a long time ago.
They show no prior reference to anything. Yeah. It's just showing her land and then like limping. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I don't know anything else about that.
Okay, so she hurts her ankle and then has to do another vault. So she musters, and it's the team all around competition. So it's not just about her. It's about getting the gold for everybody on the team. 96.
Her ankle was broken?
It was severely injured. I don't think it was broken.
Okay.
It was severely sprained, and she lands the vault.
Yeah, I totally disagree. And by the way,
cue the tears and cue the national anthem.
I don't agree with this list because they have Willis Reed at number 8. Because I think when you do something like this, it's most sports called a Willis Reed moment. Like, that's how I know it. Maybe it's just East Coast bias, but like, if you pull a Willis Reed, everyone knows what that means. You come out injured as a symbolic moment.
The weird thing with the Willis Reed thing is everyone who kind of disses it will say, well, he only scored 4 points. Like, he only hit those two
jump shots. Yeah, then Clyde took over.
Right. But what people forget is he guarded Will Chamberlain for like 30 minutes with like a torn hip. Like, that obviously is a massive challenge. Will Chamberlain had like 45 points the game before.
Okay, so now if Ohtani actually does hit a home run with an injured shoulder, to the extent that it looks pretty bad, does this now crack the
No,
why? Because they're about to sweep?
Yeah, it's 3-0. That's not even going to make the list.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's like, well, you're already up, so.
Yeah. They had one here.
So it's a tack on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
his arm's falling off his body.
I sympathize with shoulder injuries way more than most, I think, because I've had so many. It's different now. Those other guys, like, the series was in the balance. Like, Kirk Gibson is game 1. Willis Reed is game 7. Like, Pat Mahomes is one game elimination.
Yeah.
Like,
Kerry Strug, gold medals 3-0.
It's like, he could sit and the Dodgers be fine. Like, there was an idea that those guys had to play in order for their teams to win.
That's true.
The other thing, too, is, like, look at the competition. The fact that Gibson hit it off accurately. And we forgot Tiger Woods beating Rocco Mediate in the U.S.
That's
Open.
That's a great one.
That's just golf. I mean, come on.
I know. This is what Pearl is going to make enemies of all the golf people.
I was at the course the other day. I saw an 84-year-old shooting par. I think he can play on half a lake. Byron Leftwich, number 10.
Clearly can, by the way, because he hasn't made a cut in how many years?
dude won the Masters in 2019. Emmitt Smith with a dislocated shoulder. That game is big in NFL lore. But Byron Leftwich being carried to the line of scrimmage is the most dramatic one. If you ever seen video of that, like, the guy couldn't even get to the line of scrimmage and went and hiked the ball. I don't know why they didn't just go to the backup. I mean, nowadays, if Anthony Richardson gets a little winded, he calls for the backup. Byron Leftwich had one leg and led them to a huge win over Akron.
You know, that's a funny thing. We're doing the greatest moments while people are injured off of the baseball. Do we do the opposite? The Anthony Richardson moments? The times when people took themselves out, didn't rise to the occasion?
Oh, like Scottie Pippen not going in the game because he's mad because Kukoc got the shot?
That's a good one. I want to do that.
Now that's an Anthony Richardson moment. Do we do with a bizarro? The flip side of this, the most cowardly moments?
Yeah, I think that's the winner.
For tomorrow's great debate?
Well, Scotty's hard to beat.
Scotty is hard to beat.
we'll find
that
something.
That is crazy. He still defends that, too.
Perloff, you think Michael Parsons is holding out right now, secretly?
I mean, the guy's holding out with injuries. Yeah, I mean, that's holding out because they don't have their contracts. I'm not going to say that officially that Michael Parsons is holding out, but come on, dude. You better show up. Because the reason is because you are so sure that the Cowboys, you're way more sure than me that the Cowboys are toast at 3-4.
Yeah.
I would love to see Micah Parsons come back on a tear, them improve to 9-8, sneak into the wild card, so you have to drive to Dallas.
I'm not driving to Dallas. I already have to pay.
That was the bet,
Maggie.
No, I'm just making that up. You never agreed to that, although I thought you might.
No, I would never agree. I don't like road trips. Okay, let's think about this.
You can beat Scottie Pippen. You can beat Scottie.
I think I can. I think I can. I have a really good one.
Hold that thought. Pat Boyle here with updates for us on this fine Tuesday. Hi, Pat.
All right, guys. Yeah, another big blow from Freddie Freeman, all but guaranteeing he'll be the World Series MVP if the Dodgers win the World Series.
A 1-2 offering from Schmidt. Freddie swings and belts the ball right field, hooking toward the corner. Hello, short porch, and hello, Freddie Freeman. For a third straight game in this World Series, 5 straight World Series games overall, Freddie Freeman goes deep.
Steven Nelson, Dodgers Radio. That gave the Dodgers a lead they would not relinquish in the Bronx, beating the Yankees 4-2 to take a 3-0 lead in the Fall Classic. They're one win away from title number 8. Walker Buehler, 5 shutout frames, stifling Aaron Judge and Juan Soto specifically. Again, Judge, the presumed AL MVP, now 1-for-12 with 7 Ks in this series. Game 4 tonight, Luis Gil, Rookie of the Year finalist, goes for the Yanks as they try to avoid this sweep. bullpen game for the Dodgers. Monday Night Football, Calvin Austin with the insurance that the Steelers ultimately needed.
Giants bringing pressure. Wilson lofting. Wilson has a man out there. Wilson has the touchdown. It's a second touchdown for Calvin Austin.
Rob King, Steelers radio. That was Austin's second touchdown of the game. This after he ran a punt back 73 yards for a score. Steelers defense then closed it out, forcing two turnovers on the final two drives. They beat the Giants 26-18. One of those a strip sack from T.J. Watt, and the other an interception from the undrafted rookie free agent Beanie Bishop. Russell Wilson, 278 passing yards and a touchdown in the win. Steelers are 6-2. Giants are 2-6. NBA, 50 piece for Paolo Banchero to go with 13 rebounds and 9 assists. He's 21 years old.
Oof.
And I get it. NBA stats are inflated in this era, but he's absurd. A near 50-point triple-double. Magic's beat the Pacers. Magic beat the Pacers 119-115.
Did they beat the Heat?
He's got me flummoxed.
The yeah, the Jazzes.
And the Sun.
Is it time now for Paolo? Is he taking over?
I mean, he's been killing it.
Is it his time now? Is it the Magic's time?
I mean, dude, he's 20. He doesn't talk like a 21-year-old either. They call him the franchise in Orlando. Here he was after the game.
Also, with Franz being out, I had to be extra aggressive coming in. And so, but yeah, I think the game is slowing down. You know, I'm just learning more and more about myself as I keep going. You know, I keep having to remind myself, you know, I'm still very young, you know, very early in my career. So, you know, I'm still learning.
That sounds like an MVP winner in the next 2 years.
He's a killer. I mean, he's a great player. When was the last, I guess, Dirk, the last, like, four-man to, like, carry his team to a championship?
Is he really a four-man, though?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not like Karl Malone four-man.
What do you mean? I feel like he is.
I feel like he's more adept outside as well.
I mean, Karl Malone could shoot, too. They play a five next to him, like a more traditional center.
Tim Duncan, by the way.
Well, Dirk won. But those teams were more Tony Parker teams, I think, that won the last one. Like, I mean, that's Kawhi Leonard won MVP that year.
Wait, sorry. Finals. I know Maggie's like, stop talking about NBA MVP in October. But Giannis is a four, too. Couldn't you argue that?
I guess
that?
Giannis. Yeah, he'd be the last guy.
I love how you call him Giannis.
Giannis.
Are you just refusing to call him Giannis?
I meant Giannis. I don't know. I just got tripped up on it. Trust me, you think Giannis is bad. Make me do his last name. No, Antetokounmpo.
Speaking of which, shocker, the Celtics are 4-0. They beat up Giannis or Giannis, and the Bucks 119-108. Jaylen Brown had 30. Peyton Pritchard, 28 off the bench in the win. Darius Garland poured in 34. The Cavs are also 4-0. They beat the Knicks 110-104. Joker had a 40-point double-double to lift the Nuggets past Toronto, 127-125 in OT. And Kevin Durant and Devin Booker combined for 63 points. Sun handed the... Now, what am I doing? I'm just calling them the Sun. The I can't get the singular names right here.
Aaron Judge Yips.
Yeah, literally. Come October, I can't do updates.
Wait, who'd they beat? I don't think you ever told us.
The Suns handed LeBron and the Lakers their first loss. 109-105. By the way, I'm sure you guys talked about this yesterday. Did you see Dwayne Wade's statue?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he looks like Lawrence Fishburne. Like,
dead on.
I thought it looked like someone who would have eaten Dwayne Wade in Scary Movie.
You know, I saw a report after the show that Dwayne Wade was heavily involved in the creation of it and consulted four times on the look. What's going on here?
So I got a quote from him, and, you know, because, again, it was all over. That's all I saw yesterday and Monday morning on social media.
I mean, it's alarmingly bad.
It's so bad. And he said, quote, "If I wanted it to look like me, I'd just stand outside the arena and y'all can take photos. It don't need to look like me. It's the artistic version of a moment that happened that we're trying to cement."
So he loves it.
He hates it.
I would say
he hates
that
it,
too.
But he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to.
No,
he
designed it. Honestly, read about it. Rachel Nichols was reporting like he was super heavily involved in the look. He wanted exactly like this.
Okay, so here's the thing, though. Even if that's an artistic view, it's not supposed to be a life, you know, pound for pound or like moment for moment. It's not supposed to be realistic. It's supposed to be an artistic interpretation. Why would he want that?
Right. He looks like a 60-year-old Santa.
It looks like the beast from within. It's like, oh God.
I don't know. He did want it. He went down there four times and looked at it and said, I wanted to be like this.
Well, I think the problem is he thought it looked good, and now he's realizing people think it looks bad, so now he's defending it.
But I don't understand how he could think it looks good, like knowing what the final product was going to look like and not being like, can we redo this? I don't care if it takes a couple months. I'll chip in a couple $1,000.
Okay. I think I know what happened here. Have you guys ever been around any like really arty people? It can go off the deep end sometimes. And I think that it's probably like they unveil it or something and people start clapping. Or I can just imagine Dwayne Wade, brilliant, amazing basketball player. Kind of bougie guy, though. I mean, definitely. Always on the best dress list. He likes the finer things. He's the type of person who holds a wine glass just from the bottom. I mean, this dude, very GQ, something that Nico's never heard of before, GQ magazine, till today. But Dwayne Wade is the epitome of that. And so maybe you go so far off the deep end, like that thing at the Miami Marlins, that old sculpture that was in their ballpark.
Which was garbage.
But like arty people loved it. Because it's like
saying
this,
arty.
Yeah.
Artsy?
Artsy fartsy people loved it. You guys just wouldn't understand. Like, that's what they would say. The untrained eye wouldn't get it.
Maybe I should be an artist and I can just draw a slop that my 7-year-old with a box of crayons can do and call it art.
This is what a lot of people say about art.
You know what I think can fix these terrible, terrible statues we're getting? All statues should not be completed and unveiled until the mother, if they're alive, or an aunt, has seen it. Because I guarantee if Mrs. Wade, Miss Jolinda Wade, would have seen that statue,
not my baby.
No way she's letting that go.
What about a wife? A wife can also
Gabrielle Union, right? Yeah. That's his wife?
I don't know. I think a mom is different. I think a wife could maybe be a little artsy and be like, oh, I kind of get what they were doing. Mm. I think a mom, it's more personal.
Yeah.
It's more personal. I think all moms should be a part of all statues being made in the future, and we won't get this crap.
I mean, as a mom, I second that. I'd love to be involved. My kid gets a statue one day. Not my baby.
I don't understand one thing about the Ronaldo statue, the famously ill-formed Cristiano. Why is he cross-eyed in the statue? Like, is that an artistic thing, too?
I think they're just, whoever did it, it's not that good.
No, I don't think so, Pat. I think it's purely on purpose.
They made him cross-eyed?
Yeah, I don't think it was a mistake.
But what would be arty about that?
They're trying to capture him in a real moment and not some faux heroic moment.
I'm sorry, I don't know if I ever go cross-eyed.
No, I don't know. Maybe there was a fly in front of his face. I have no idea.
That's the real moment?
No, I think that there's an artistic component in both these statues that we don't understand, or at least we don't understand the artist's intentions.
Oh, no, maybe we just give some of these artists too much credit, and some of them could be
there's a lot of bad football coaches.
I'm sure there's a lot of bad statue making artists.
You read the story on Dwayne Wade. Do you realize how many hours and how many times Wade was part of this?
Yeah. Like, do you know how many hours they spend a week devising game plans in the National Football League, and then they have the New York Giants who can't score 20 points?
It's not bad.
They devised hours of the statue making, and then they screwed it up.
Wait, let me ask you this: Obviously, in the world of art, being the most accurate to reality is not how you judge art.
Well, Michelangelo worked out well for him.
That is not why. It's not like anybody can recreate a photo in art. The point is to do something with it and like play with the light or something.
I mean,
you got to put a little spin on it, right? You can't just be realistic.
But you've been to the Louvre. All that stuff is super realistic. You've been to Athens. You've been to all these places that are super realistic, and everyone loves them, and it's like these things stand the test of time.
Picasso's the most famous artist of all time, and there's nothing realistic about it.
Have you ever seen his early work? It's all super realistic.
I was at the Louvre this summer, and nothing looks like what that Cristiano Ronaldo statue looks like.
You know what you're doing? You're adding to the softification of America right now. Somebody who screwed up a statue that should have been made, that probably isn't that hard to make it look somewhat like Dwayne Wade. You're given a participation trophy out right now.
But you guys are like, oh my God, that is the most realistic painting I've ever seen. I mean, put that person in the Louvre. Of course not. That's not what art is. Art is an interpretation of reality. And this is what that statue is. I'm backing the sculptor.
It's a bad interpretation. It looks nothing like him. I don't care what the artistic vision was. It looks nothing like him. That person should be lambasted.
He's trying to capture a moment in time. With Dwayne Wade.
And in no moment did Dwayne Wade ever look like that.
Said I did. That Wade was down with this. And Dwayne Wade, you know, you mentioned, like, he's down at Art Basel in Miami. He's an art dude. I could tell.
But emphasis on the fartsy, because I don't think they got the artsy part right.
No. This is making me irrationally angry.
Yeah,
defending this.
The Ronaldo statue is way worse, by the way. Because Dwayne Wade is a very handsome guy. Ronaldo might be, like, one of the most handsome people alive. And they made the statue. Maybe that's an artistic point. They wanted to say, oh, you're not, you know.
You're immortal.
Exactly.
Your teeth are fake, and so is your face.
Have you guys ever seen the bad Olympic photos? Do you guys know that story at all?
No.
So the most famous photographer in the world was commissioned to do, I think, the 2004 U.S. Olympic team. And he put out intentionally crappy photos of them. Like, the lighting was wrong. And wow. It's considered, like, a major work of art. Like, it's, like, an incredible commentary on everything. It's stunning. There's
so he
a book
was going
about,
for, like, an art verite type of thing. Like, there's but a no, but he, uber hyper-reality.
He made everyone look terrible. Like, intentionally terrible. Like, he took very good-looking Olympians and made them look ugly. And that was, like, an incredible statement. The Olympians loved it. They're like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Hmm. So there's something to the art there. I'm not saying I agree, but it's not just because they were inaccurate.
But well, yeah. That's the case, then why is the jersey so good? I feel like the rest of his uniform is very accurate and very on point. It's
oh,
just
for
his,
Wade?
Yeah, it's just his face and his build that's off, and especially the face.
Doesn't he kind of have to say that he likes it?
Like, that's what I'm saying.
He's not going to be like, oh, thank you for the statue. It sucks.
I'm sure behind closed doors, he's probably freaking out. They got to redo that statue. There's no way that stands. No way. I will personally go to Miami and take it down. I will pull that statue down.
You're not even a Heat fan.
I actually hate the Heat, so I should be happy that they screwed up Dwayne Wade's statue.
This is a good long show bet. Do you think they change it? And if they change it, do you think they tell us about it, or do they subtly change it?
It's going to be like the Commanders with Sean Taylor. It's going to be like four years from now. They're going to be like, oh, by the way, we changed the statue. Okay, bye. That's exactly what's going to happen.
I wish they had just given Sean Taylor a statue. That would have been a lot easier.
That is the worst statue
we've
ever seen.
That's the artsy interpretation.
Yeah, you want to talk about the worst statues? That's the worst one. It's almost not even a statue. It's just...
It's just his uniform.
Yeah, it's just a uniform.
Hanging.
Yeah, like Batman in the Batcave. Yeah. I don't know what the hell they were doing there.
Really quickly,
damn Dan Snyder.
We got NFL injury news 2 hours ago. If you missed it, Odyssey app really quickly. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of this. Week 10 college football, massive one, headlined by undefeated number 3 Penn State hosting 4th-ranked Ohio State. Nittany Lions QB Drew Aller could be a game-time decision. That per head coach James Franklin. The Big Ten is investigating the fight between Michigan and Michigan State when their game ended on Saturday, and UCF fired their defense coordinator Ted Roof.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Yeah, we're keeping an eye on that Drew Aller injury. Obviously, he had to leave the game last week against Wisconsin. Backup quarterback did a fine job, but this is the big game of the year for Penn State. 855-212-4227. All right, coming up, we have more on the World Series and the Dodgers on the brink of a sweep. We also check in with our favorite college football coach next. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. They're members of the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. All right. Defensive player. We had a really big play last night in Game 3 of the World Series, Perloff. We're trying to guess who EJ picked as the defensive player. That was the Teoscar Hernandez throw home to get Giancarlo Stanton. Beautiful tag applied. I don't know if that's going to be it, though, because Stanton really isn't much of a threat.
Yeah. We also have TJ Watt with a strip sack last night, and TJ Watt's always good. But maybe EJ went to the weekend for a big defensive performance.
I mean, TJ Watt really would fit the bill. It wasn't just that strip sack. That was amazing. Even the play before, he caught Daniel Jones like by the toe. Jones would have been gone for at least a first down.
But let's not forget his partner in crime, Alex Highsmith, too. Maybe you give it a combo defensive player of the week.
You can go like a Miami Hurricane.
Mookie had a big catch yesterday, too. God, this is hard.
Oh, Mookie did have that good shoestring catch.
All right, so the defensive player this week is TJ Watt, who had two sacks last night, including the strip sack, while the Giants were driving, that basically kind of sealed the game. Giants got the ball back, but that was a key play in the game. Not only does he get the strip sack, he also recovers the ball. The guy's incredible. I still think, I don't want to say he's underrated, but I just don't know if we talk about him enough. He's so incredible. So, TJ Watt, you are my defensive player of the week and the Navy Federal defensive player of the week.
MVP odds at all? Do we know if they changed even slightly off of this? I don't know. I like my idea of him splitting it with a quarterback. Because it's going to be so hard for the voters not to do a QB.
I almost feel like the only way you can get an MVP player as a defensive player is if you break the sack record.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he hasn't gotten the sacks this year.
Yeah, he has 6.5 now.
Which is weird, because last year he had 1 million. Because I assume then they started double-team him, and then Highsmith came raring around the other way. The Steelers' schedule does get a little tougher. I thought Aiden Hutchinson was on. He might have broken the sack record this year, too, because the Lions get so far ahead that everyone has to pass against them. You know who I think sneaky defensive player and even Like, Dexter Lawrence is so good. Can we talk about that guy for a second? Like, he's stuck on a bad team, but how did he become so good? The Giants defensive tackle. He reminds me, is he the new Aaron Donald? I guess Chris Jones is, but he looks like he might be the best defensive player in the game or close to it.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Is it harder? I mean, Aaron Donald,
yeah.
As a defensive lineman like that, again, you're right. He's on a bad team, but no, Sexy Dexy is all about it.
He is.
I saw
really
an article
good.
Yesterday. Is he the Michael Jordan of defensive linemen? I was like, wait, what?
I think the Brian Burns acquisition has helped a lot because now they can't double team him as much.
Yeah, and Kayvon Thibodeau going out, but Ojulari has stepped up. So, and the Giants hung in there last night, but this is really about the Steelers. I think, you know, on the surface, the Steelers made the right decision. And Russ is definitely makes the offense look a lot more dynamic, Perloff, because as you mentioned, the moon balls, what he's able to do, George Pickens, Van Jefferson, they actually have explosive plays. However, I'm not sold on the Steelers being a Super Bowl contender because they're beating teams that aren't very good. Yeah. And I think you give a better team two shots last night to go down the field and win the game, even with TJ Watt playing like an MVP. I think a better team puts up way more of a fight there and possibly scores. So
the Steelers are so hard to judge, too, because when they'll lose to a team that they shouldn't lose to, then they'll beat the Ravens. I mean, this is Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, an 8-point win is a massive blowout for that dude, right? Right now at this point, like,
huge.
He just likes to win. He plays conservatively. I just think the Steelers are way too reliant. Like, they have one play offensively. Well, except for Najee Harris. They have one pass play. Russ, you take three steps back and throw it straight up into the air and hope that George Pickens or whoever comes back to the ball. Is there a way to defend this? There's got to be, right?
A better corner, I guess.
I don't know. And then you have to worry about the PI, too. So it's interesting because Russ is definitely underthrowing those long balls.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's kind of given George Pickens, though, with a jump ball is fine. And even with an underthrown ball, he's coming back to it. And
Van Jefferson got one last night, too.
It's like 47 yards. Amazing.
Yeah, it's a fun team to watch. It's good when the Steelers are good, by the way. Can we just state that last night, that atmosphere looked so much fun. And TJ Watt's fun. So I hope the Steelers are legit. Be fun for them to be in the playoffs.
Flip side of this, do you think Brian Daboll's on the hot seat? Because John Mara, the head coach of the Giants, came out and said, no, everyone's safe, but yes?
I don't even care. Like, where is his franchise going? It just feels
They'll move away from Daniel Jones and they'll get a new quarterback. The question is, if you're going to draft a new quarterback, you might as well keep the general manager and coach in place because don't have someone draft him and then get rid of that guy. Show a little continuity.
They might
have they earned it?
Well, also, too, will they get in the bottom five to get a quarterback? I mean, last year, I guess there were quarterbacks went 1 through 12 different spots. I'm not sure that definite quarterback's going to be there. Say they want Shador. Shador might not be. Say they pick 6. They're going to have their choice of Cam Warner, Shador Sanders. I don't know. That's why they took Neighbors this year, because I don't think they wanted Drake May. They wanted, obviously, Jaden Daniels.
Well, they weren't getting those
guys.
And
they clearly weren't getting Caleb Williams. Could the same thing happen again this year where they're just stuck?
I don't think the quarterbacks are going to go that high this year. I know the draft process always helps the QBs, but I don't think we're looking at a class that's as robust as last year's class.
Yeah, but then again, last year, at this time, do we know Bo Nix and Michael Penix?
Good point.
Both who are averaging 23 years old. We're going to be top 12 picks. I think it's hard to tell. You're right. The draft process pushes these guys up. I saw a ranking the other day, and Shador was the first. It was Matt Miller, ESPN, his draft ranking. Shador was the first quarterback. He was the 10th best prospect.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean he won't go number one, because quarterbacks are in need.
I know I'm biased as a Giant fan, but like, if you take away the fact that they didn't have a kicker against Washington, and then last night, multiple plays with the refs, with the missed call on the roughing the kicker, and then the Neighbors motion play that we talked about, like, think about how easily the Giants could be 4-4.
Yeah, but do you still want Daniel Jones?
No, but I'm saying that's why Brian Daboll shouldn't be on the hot seat.
Because he's
still coaching them enough to keep them in these games.
Yeah.
I kind of have the same impression. Brian Daboll does not seem like a bad coach to me.
I don't think he is a bad coach, but people blame him for not having a backup kicker ready to go for that one game where they ended up losing.
Troy Aikman did a nice job pointing out Daniel Jones, his timing is off. Like, he is just not making smart real-time decisions.
Which is funny. He's coming off an ACL and nobody cares. It's like, no, he can't run anymore. It's like, well, he's coming off a massive knee injury, but that guy sucks. Also, Brian Daboll might need to have, like, his own special ambulance on standby.
Oh, my God.
That dude is leaving a game in a body bag.
Chill.
If he's not careful.
I didn't even know who he was yelling at by the halfway through the game. He's just screaming after every play.
Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Nico Scarlatos. Thank you to Pat Boyle and to Andrew Kaplan and to the Weedos and the Coffee Drinkers.